Hello, everyone, and welcome to Untangled Resolution's presentation of The Problem is the Answer. I am your host, Batabi Leventombeni, and I'm coming to you live from Harlem, USA. Today, I invite my regular guest, business guru Pankaj Amin, back to the show. Our topic today is about selling. No business is in business without revenue, and you get your revenue through sales. How does a new entrepreneur go about gaining customers and creating a winning strategy to sell? That's what we're talking about today. You're listening to composer, singer, and guitar virtuoso Brandon Rock. The piece is called South from his album Puppet, which is now available on iTunes. Sit back and listen while everyone gathers. I'll be back with you in just a moment. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for choosing to join us today. I'm here today with my guest, Pankaj Amin, and we are talking today about making Skrilla. That's right, we're talking about bringing in the bucks. Before we start, I want to remind you that you can call in to ask questions. The call-in number is 818-532-9789. We appreciate your comments as well. So call in to make comments, ask questions. You can also decide if you want to be mobile, that you can that you want to listen to the show, and perhaps you're out running errands or something like that. You can actually dial that number from your cell phone or even from a landline and listen to the show that way. So the number is 818-532-9789. There are instructions about how to let me know if you want to be on the show, but go ahead and give us a call. All right, so I want to welcome Pankaj to the show. Pankaj, your mic is on. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today, Batavale?
I'm doing quite well. It's excellent to have you back again. And we're talking today about something that warms the hearts of, I think, most entrepreneurs. You know, you do the hard work of putting your business plan together and deciding what you're going to do, and now it's time to actually go out there and sell. And this program actually ties into the last one that we were talking about, networking, getting out there to get started. But now we want to talk about putting the rubber to the road. So let's talk about selling.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. I think that there's nothing more gratifying than winning that first deal or having that first customer walk through your door.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Anyone who's owned a business will know that there's a special affiliation that they have. They'll never forget the first one who came in and bought their product or subscribed to their service. So there's something very important about sales, both
yes.
emotionally for an entrepreneur, but more importantly, tactically and strategically for a business. Sales and marketing really drive every business. I mean, without selling your product, then you're not really in business. So
exactly.
It's a great topic.
Right. Well, listen, why don't we start out by making sure that everybody's on the same page about what we mean when we talk about sales and marketing. People use those terms together, and I think that they're not even really aware that there's much of a difference between them. So what does one mean when one talks about sales, and what does one mean when one talks about marketing?
Sure. Well, marketing is more of a strategic function, and sales is more of a tactical function.
Huh.
And that doesn't mean that one is better than the other, but what it does mean is that marketing is really more focused on what is your product, what are the features, the functionality, the value for the customer, who is your customer, what is your customer value, where do they, you know, how much are they willing to pay for your product or service, how are they going to find out about your product and service, and what partnerships or relationships do you need to put together to provide yourself with the credibility and the authority to sell your product or service.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that marketing is just coming up with a good ad slogan or getting your advertising out into the right billboards or TV channels.
I thought
channels,
it was about the product
really
placement, where you have it on the shelf, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and depending on your product or your service, what type of distribution channel, where on the shelf are you in the retail store if you have a retail consumer product? Those are very important for that type of a product.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a more of a business-to-business product, then what type of relationships do you have with other companies in your industry or outside of your industry? Those are all strategic marketing questions that really surround how your customer goes about buying and what their process or their considerations are in the buying process that enable them to reach your front door and then finally take out their wallet and pay for the product and service that you have to offer.
Okay,
so that's
and then,
really
of course,
marketing. It's a strategic function.
Okay.
Sales,
so
sales. Sales, on the other hand, is more of a tactical function. So sales is more about lead generation, which some people might also put into marketing, but lead generation, lead qualification, and then going through to closing on a particular customer. So, you know, when you're a salesperson, you're out there, and I usually tell people that the best salespeople are very, very good at managing their time. They don't want to spend a minute outside of lead qualification and closing, because what you're doing in lead qualification is you're trying to figure out if a particular potential customer has a real value, a perceived value for the product that you're selling, and then also has a willingness to pay for it and a capacity to pay for it.
Well,
and
just
so
hold on for
if
just
they don't
second.
Have all three of those things, they're not a real lead.
Right, okay. So let's back up for just a second, because I want to make sure that everybody understands that when you say lead, you mean a potential customer. I mean, why do we use the term lead?
So a lead is a potential customer. So when you in sales lingo, you would say, you know, I've got a hot lead for you. That's a potential customer that could turn into an actual customer. And when you generate a lead, you're going through a number of marketing functions. So you might do advertising, you might have partnerships, you might have referrals. Those are all sources of leads or lead generators. And then when you as a salesperson receive a lead, it's, you know, you could have 100 leads in your basket at the moment, and you have to figure out which 5 of them or which 10 of them are the highest probability of closing. So, because at the end of the day, you get paid as a salesperson on how much you close. How much in closing means how much business you actually sell. So, when I say that good salespeople are really efficient with their time, they want to make sure that they're spending a maximum amount of time on the 10 leads out of that 100 that are really going to close.
Uh-huh.
And so what they do is they're very efficient about going through a process of qualifying that lead basket.
Okay.
And figuring out which 10 are the 10, or which ones are the ones that are high probability to close and which ones can be put on the back burner for the moment.
Now, are there specific questions that I want to ask myself that will help me to qualify a lead?
Yes. So let's say you have lemonade. Let's say you have a lemonade stand as your product. If someone walks by and they're not thirsty, well, then they're not a qualified lead because they don't have a need or a perceived value for the product that you're selling.
Uh-huh.
If they're holding a can of Coke in their hand, they probably are not a qualified lead.
Okay.
So one element of lead qualification is, does the customer or does the lead have a need and perceive a need for the product that you're selling?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that's important is, does the customer have a willingness to pay for it? If they're parched and they really need a drink, but they don't want to pay for the glass of lemonade, they're not a qualified lead because
okay.
they are not going to pay you for it. And then number three, do they have the capacity to pay for it? If they are parched and they're thirsty, which means they have a perceived they have a need for your product, and if they feel that the glass of lemonade is worth 50 cents or whatever you're charging for it, but they don't have 50 cents in their wallet, they're not a qualified lead. Because regardless of whether they feel that they need it and they feel that they're willing to pay for it, if they don't have the ability to pay for it, then they're not going to ultimately become a closed customer. So okay. Those are the three things that I would say are generic qualifiers of leads across any product or service. And those are, just to repeat myself, those are, do they have a need, a perceived need and value of the product and service that you're selling? Do they feel like they have a willingness to pay for the product and service uh-huh. that you're selling? And do they have a capacity to pay for the product or service that you're selling? And I think this is a mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in their infancy, will make, which is they might spend an inordinate amount of time on what I would call unqualified leads. Uh-huh. So what they'll do is that they'll find someone who wants to talk to them and then says, okay, great, I have a hot lead here. As time goes by, if they unearth the reality that this is a person or this is a customer that does not have a real value for what you're selling, or maybe they just don't have the money for it, or they don't feel like they should have to pay for it, those are all things that should be triggers for you to stop spending time on that particular lead, because the best salespeople are very efficient with their time.
Okay.
And they move on to prospecting for leads that could meet all three of those criteria. Because otherwise what you're doing is you're spinning your wheels with a customer who's never going to ultimately pay you or buy.
And time is money.
Yeah, time is money. And I think it's more than just you could be doing other things with your time. You could be redeveloping, especially as an entrepreneur. Most entrepreneurs will wear both the sales and the marketing hat
uh-huh.
in their organization. So if what you're selling is not, if you can't find qualified leads for what you're selling, then what you have to do is then you have to go back to the drawing board on the marketing side and say, how do I redesign the product or the service so that it is more sellable.
Okay.
Because if you can't find leads that are going to close, then either there's something wrong with your product or there's something wrong with how you're selling.
Okay.
And you have to reevaluate both of those things.
Right, right. Well, and all of this does sound pretty challenging and very important to understand, and it sounds like it just takes practice to do. Are there particular resources that you think people might find? I mean, we'll talk about resources again at the end of the show. We always do. But is there a way that people can practice this so that they get better at discerning who's going to be a good lead, a qualified lead?
You know what? I think that's actually a really good question. And for people who are not experienced salespeople, and frankly, if you're an entrepreneur, the most important thing for you, you are ultimately a salesperson, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
I've talked to entrepreneurs who said, you know, I really don't like to sell. And I say, well, then you may want to reevaluate whether you should be an entrepreneur, because at the end of the day, every entrepreneur is selling what they have, whether they're selling to investors, they're selling to customers, they're selling to employees, they're selling to a multitude of people across a number of different value propositions. One thing that I would, there's a book that I read a million years ago, which I really liked. It was called Selling to Vito, V-I-T-O.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very tactical book about the sales process. And I would recommend, and it's a very quick read. It's only a couple hundred pages. It's an easy read. And I would recommend anyone who has not sold anything to maybe read a book like that. That's one that I have read, Selling to Vito.
Okay.
But if there are other books, I'm sure if you can find a bookstore that's still open, or if you go to Amazon.com, there are a number of books on selling, and I would just pick up, you don't have to spend a lot of money on it, I would pick up one or two books on selling and then go through those books. But then more importantly, I would say that the psychological and the emotional stomach that you have to grow in order to be a salesperson is going to be the most important thing that you do. So,
okay.
For example, don't get stuck with leads that are not going to go anywhere. So when and most people, if you've ever been a salesperson, usually you'll be, you know, you'll be required to do like a weekly conference call with the rest of your sales team and your sales manager. And in that conference call, you'll be required to kind of demonstrate that you're pushing leads through the pipeline. So a pipeline might go from lead generation, where you might have at any one time 100 leads, to lead qualification, where you're maybe trying to qualify 25 leads, to reviewing and demonstrating and showing your product, which you might be doing to 10 people, to negotiating contracts, which you might be doing with 5 people, to closing, mm-hmm. which you might be doing with 3 people. And
right.
at any one period in time, your snapshot should have a full pipeline across all of those phases of the sales process. If you find that you don't have very many leads, but you're closing a lot of deals, well, that's great for this month, but you got to now worry about next month or next quarter. If you're finding that you're not closing enough deals, but you've got a lot of leads, then you got to worry about pushing stuff up to the next level. And so you're constantly evaluating your pipeline and saying, am I pushing these leads through the pipeline? And leads will drop off. I mean, if you have 100 leads and you only have 10, I think I said, that you're doing demos for, well, 90 of them are going to drop off the plate, and that's fine. And I think what's important for a salesperson or an entrepreneur is to say, how am I going to take the 100 leads that I've got and really focus my time down on the 1 or 2 or 5 that are seriously qualified leads and have a need for my product and are going to want to write me a check so that I can
Pankaj, you're saying something. Yeah, you're saying something that's really, really important, which I think helps with entrepreneurs perhaps not feeling so discouraged. I mean, that's one of the things that I really want to speak to on this show, is helping people who are starting out in business on their own to understand how not to become discouraged. What you're talking about is something like it taking 100 leads to generate perhaps one sale, and that is normal and that is okay. I think a lot of people become discouraged when they find that they're out there selling, or marketing and pitching, and they're not getting anything back.
That's correct. And I think a lot of people feel discouraged by that. What you actually should, and it's hard, but you should actually figure out how you can feel encouraged by the fact that people are dropping off of your pipeline.
Help me out with that. How is that encouraging?
It sounds counterintuitive. However, you know, if you're generating leads, as long as you have a viable product or service, a certain percentage of them will flow on through to close. So if you have 100 leads and you have a product that is a good product at a competitive price, then they will flow through. If you have an uncompetitive product at an uncompetitive price, that's another story. That's a marketing challenge. Then you have to put your marketing hat back on and say, well, do I redesign this product or do I change the price of my service and how does that change my financial picture, et cetera. But at the end of the day, if you have a product and if you've sold it once or twice, then you know it's sellable for a certain segment of the population. And so what you need to do is then say, okay, how do I focus on the segment that is most likely to give me qualified leads?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that so at the end of the day, I've often found in my career that my product or service is not going to be relevant for everyone in the world.
Right.
Consequently, it's important for me to understand what slice of the world and how do I characterize that slice, but what slice of the world is my product most relevant for, and then I focus my marketing dollars and my sales effort on that slice.
Okay.
And that's something that entrepreneurs have a big difficulty with because they're, you know, when you're very early on in your process of starting a business, it feels like the world is your oyster, so you could almost be going after anybody. And in reality, what you need to be doing is you need to be focusing, you know, think strategically about where you want to focus and then choose one area to focus on and then and then see if you get the right result. If you don't get the right result, then you may want to change your focus a little bit, shift to a different focus. But then you will be much more effective in generating your leads and then also pushing them through to close.
Okay.
And I think that the challenge for folks is that you're out there, you're looking for leads, you're looking, you know, you're trying to drum up business, and it's very difficult to, you know, when you get a lead and then it drops off, and then you get your 10th lead and it drops off, and then you get your 50th lead and it drops off. But that's part of the process of selling, is that you have to go through a lot of potential leads before you get some of them that actually close.
Okay. Well, listen, Pankaj, this is awesome. We actually, believe it or not, are at the break mark. We'll talk when we come back a little bit more about the psychology of buying. Why do people buy? And then also talk about doing market research. What are some, you know, inexpensive but very effective ways that entrepreneurs who are just starting out can figure out what their market is and figure out who their qualified leads are? So we're going to talk about that and more when we come back after this break. You're going to be hearing from Brandon Ross again. Then the piece is called, I think, quite appropriately, If You Come to Me. It's all about bringing somebody in. The song is called If You Come to Me by Brandon Ross, and it's from his album Puppet, which is available on iTunes. I hope you go out there and buy the album. All right, we'll talk with you in just a moment.
If you come. No appointment, nothing in hand. If I sing to you all that I bring to you in the
Welcome back to the show, everybody. You are listening to Untangled Resolution's presentation of The Problem is the Answer, a show about the social, relationship, and financial issues that concern you most. I'm your host, Batavi Lintobini, mediator and conflict management specialist, and I'm broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. So, I have a big announcement for everyone. It has been 10 months since Untangled Resolution's presentation of The Problem is the Answer first went on the air. We've had a wonderful first season, and today is actually the last regular broadcast for the year. We are taking the months of November and December to revamp the show. We may do special broadcasts in the meantime, and we will be back in January with a brand new season of interesting and informative content for you. I'm revamping the show, as I said, and we'll be coming on at a new time, so look out for announcements about that. I truly appreciate you listening, and I want to hear from you. Let me know what worked and what didn't for you, and what you would like to see. Your input is really valuable to me, and if you've been listening regularly, you know how to get in touch, www.123untangled.com for the website, and if you want to contact me via email, which actually is a really great way to get in touch, it is info@123untangled.com. That's info@123untangled.com. And I'd love to hear from you. I also want to remind you that I'm presenting my negotiation workshop starting on November 10th at Newark City here in New York City. You got that? Newark City here in New York City. My winning negotiation series will help you to figure out why you get so stressed out about negotiating and how to get over it. Fear of losing, based on fear of the unknown, causes the greatest anxiety for most negotiators. Fearful negotiating means negotiating from a position of lack, which is competitive bargaining, rather than a position of plenty, which means collaborating to solve a problem. Perception and skill are key, and in this class, we talk all about perception and how to work with perception and to have the skills to be able to work with perception so that you can create a winning negotiation strategy. My series will help you to recognize the limitations in your own approaches to negotiating and will give you tools to help you to overcome your fear. For more information about how to take my class, join me on Facebook at Untangled Resolutions or check out my website, www.123untangled.com. I will have full information up there for you in about a day or so, so I can get the links up there, and you can just click in and go in and purchase your ticket for the first class. I want to remind you also that Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in conflict management and dispute resolution. Contact me if your organization has internal conflict that interferes with your daily functioning and your bottom line. I can help you to design conflict management plans and train internal mediators and address recurring interests of conflict in your organization. I also do presentations like the negotiation workshop for folks at their place of business. So if you want me to come to you, I'm happy to do so. Contact me again at info@123untangled.com or www.123untangled.com. Wonderful. So now we can return to the show, and I'm welcoming my guest today, Pankaj Amin, back to the show. We're talking today about selling. Pankaj, your mic is on. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Great, and I appreciate your patience waiting through the break there. We were talking before the break about how leads are generated and how you qualify your leads and, you know, defining your market. And I'd like us to hone in a little bit more because I think that for a lot of people, that is the grand mystery. What is it finally that you can say to the right people to get them to fork over the money for your product or service?
And I think this leads to, you know, what you had touched upon before the break, which is that we really want to maybe shift perspective and understand what motivates people to actually buy.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, I think if, you know, when you put yourself into the buyer's shoes, there are several things that motivate them to buy. And at the top line, what I would say is that buyers buy from an emotional perspective rather than, you know, more importantly than anything else. And what I mean by that is that, I can give you two examples, one from a consumer's perspective and then one from a business-to-business perspective. But buyers, ultimately, the value propositions that ring with them from the heart and the stomach,
mm-hmm.
and they go with people that they're comfortable with. So, you know, for example, I remember when I was in business school, we had a gentleman who worked on Cheerios. He was the brand manager for Cheerios, which is a humongous brand, and
mm-hmm.
We in America and around the world buy a lot of Cheerios. And
yes.
If you remember, their advertising campaign, this is probably 20 years ago, their advertising campaign was focused on crunchy and crispy, and they would literally have O-O-O-O-O-O-O's of Cheerios bouncing around all over the TV screen, and they would say crunchy, 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 crispy, crispy, crispy. And yes, the product features of Cheerios are that they are crunchy and that they're crispy.
Mm-hmm.
However, when he came in, he had changed the focus of the value proposition of Cheerios towards, you know, Cheerios can help you with your heart healthiness. Cheerios is the cereal that was there for you and with you from your childhood up until your adulthood and beyond. And so the whole how that manifested itself in the advertising campaign was that the advertising campaign became much more of a father and a daughter eating Cheerios in the morning, and the daughter says, "What's high cholesterol?" And then we find out that Cheerios can help you with your cholesterol. And so the emotional connection that Cheerios makes with you, both on its continuity and its health benefits, were rang much truer with consumers, and consequently they bought more. So
what I'm seeing then is that, you know, you've got the consumer, as you're describing it, you know, dad perhaps in his tie and button-down shirt, sitting at the breakfast table with his young daughter, and so she's concerned about high cholesterol, and I guess the message that you get is that it's a responsible thing to eat Cheerios because you want to be able to be there for your family and to raise your children and to be healthy.
Exactly, as opposed to they're crunchy, 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 crispy, 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 right?
Okay.
Now, the reality is when we are entrepreneurs, a lot of times entrepreneurs, I mean, a direct analogy to that would be if I owned a restaurant. If I owned a restaurant and operated my restaurant from the perspective of, well, we have the cheapest food in town and our lunch buffet is only $2.99, well, that's going to attract certain customers, but it actually will push many customers away. Because price is not necessarily the most important or the only factor that people look at when they're going to eat. Quality is also very important, and also, you know, what type of food. So there's a number of different things that can feed into the overall experience that you have in that restaurant, and that can influence how you put together your marketing campaign, your advertising campaign, your communications campaign. All of those things are intertwined in how you develop your message. And so what I usually suggest is not making your message as broad as possible and encompassing these emotional and psychological benefits.
Right. So Pinkush, what I hear is we're talking about, you mentioned features, and I talked about the benefits of eating Cheerios, you know, lowering your cholesterol so you can be there for your family. So let's talk a little bit more explicitly then about the difference between features and benefits. I think a lot of people, when they do their marketing, they do what you're talking about. You know, our buffet is only $2.99 and it's the largest buffet for $2.99. So that's a really features heavy message, isn't it?
Correct. And at the end of the day, you know, and this is another, you know, putting ourselves into the shoes of a customer who is going to buy, they're looking to solve a problem. They're not necessarily looking for the features that you offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more you can communicate your product in terms of solving their problem and less about the features that you offer, the more likely you're able to address a larger addressable market. So, for example, I mean, if we're gonna continue on the Cheerios example, you know, Cheerios is crunchy and crispy. Those are features, but the benefits are that it could be a healthy breakfast option for you. And specifically, if you have cholesterol issues, it's a healthy, specifically for that, it could help you reduce your cholesterol. It could be heart healthy for you. So consequently, there are a lot of people out there who wake up in the morning worrying about their cholesterol. Not very many people wake up in the morning saying, oh, my God, I really need a crunchy or crispy cereal. So what Cheerios did in that particular situation is they built a bridge from the product that they have, because the product is exactly the same, right? But they've built a bridge to the problem that a customer is looking to solve or address.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you, as a salesperson, you're more likely to close on the basis of solving your customer's problem and positioning your product to solve that problem.
Okay.
Another thing that I did want to point out is from a business-to-business perspective, a lot of times people would say, well, nobody ever got fired for hiring IBM. That's an old slogan that people used to say. What that really means is when you hire someone, you're looking for credibility and authority, and you get that from a large, established player in the market. Now, as an entrepreneur, you're inherently not a large, established player. So the question is, how do you create credibility and authority in your positioning for your business so that you can compete against the quote-unquote IBM of your particular service or sector? So, every sector has a big player that you're competing against, and you do have potential advantages. Price is, as a matter of fact, one potential advantage. You might come in cheaper than the IBM of your industry, because you don't have the overhead costs and all the other cost structure that a large player might have. And so that will be it. But at the end of the day, in order to get the customer to pull over to signing with you, you have to be able to establish that credibility and that authority. And so how do you go about doing that? There are a number of ways in which you do that. And so from a marketing perspective, we talked about networking in our last discussion a month ago.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. You join associations, you join groups, you partner up with like-minded people so that your net is bigger than just you floating in the ocean by yourself. And so consequently, you have the combined credibility of a number of different players, and when you provide that going to market, that can give you added credibility. Speaking engagements, writing articles, writing books, those are all also things that add to your credibility. So things like that, PR, all of those things actually, they don't give you immediate benefit, but they give you the building blocks towards getting someone to sign over with you versus a larger player.
Well, you're talking about expanding your network here, and I wonder if we could talk a bit about something that I think is really, really, really exciting. Once I hit upon this, a lot of the stress that I had about selling dropped away, because I came to realize that I don't have to shoulder the burden of this all by myself. And that is about when you get cheerleaders. You're talking about people who have experienced your service, experienced your product. Once you've got your first few customers, I'd like to talk a bit about cultivating those people, being really, really, really good to those people so they go out there and they become your sales force.
Yeah, and you know what? There's two things I would add to that. I would say, number one, your customers are going to be your best source of referrals. So consequently, when you sign a customer on, they're actually your most important sales resource. So making sure that you do a good job for your existing customer is probably your number one priority as a small business owner, because you really want to make sure that, if you have three customers you're working with right now, you want to make sure that those three customers or that one customer or those 100 customers, whatever the number is, you want to make sure that that group that you're serving right now has the highest caliber experience possible for the product or service that you sell. Once you do that, and if you work with enterprise customers where you actually bring them on individually, it is not unreasonable, or if you're like a real estate broker or something like that, it is not unreasonable to go back to your clients and say, hey, were you happy with the service? I'd like to see if you know anyone else who might be a referral for me or who might
right.
have a need for my services. It's important to not be shy because your client was trying to solve a problem, and if you did a good job solving their problem, they're going to be satisfied with the fact that you did a great job solving their problem. That doesn't necessarily translate into them extending beyond and saying, well, let me proactively find or refer new customers to this person who just did a great job for me. So once again, sales is a lot about building a bridge to your customer, but when you're the person selling, you have to build 90% of the bridge.
Uh-huh.
So again, when you're building the bridge, you have to be the one who extends out to your client and say, hey, I'm really glad you had a great experience working with us. By the way, can you refer, are there any other folks that you think might benefit from the services that we provide? And I've noticed that there are some entrepreneurs who feel that they get shy or they feel intimidated about asking for referrals.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that you just need to shift your attitude on that if you have that particular attitude. Because at the end of the day, if you want to sell, you have to be able to build that bridge.
Right.
And so the way you think about it is you have a valuable service to offer and you have something that people will want if they knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to build the bridge. No customer builds the bridge to you. You have
right.
to build the bridge out to them. And there are various ways in which you go about building that bridge. None of them are easy, but all of them require some work. But if you really believe that you have a valuable product or a valuable service that people are going to appreciate, then you're going to realize that it's worth the effort and potentially overcoming the intimidation of building that bridge to get to those customers.
Well, one of the things that I do is after my workshops, I ask people to give me testimonials. You know, I ask the testimonials right then and there, and that's one great way of doing it, or I might follow up with them a couple of days later via email to ask for a testimonial. What are other ways that you can reach out to build that bridge? You said that there are a number of steps that a person can take. You said that they might be challenging, but, you know, how might somebody reach out to their customers?
You know, so asking for testimonials, I think, is one great way. I think another way is, which I think is really helpful on multiple levels, is to request feedback on the product or service itself. So, and then another thing I would say is just a simple thank you note. I mean, I noticed, I know that in businesses that I've ran, we used to make it a point to send a small box of chocolate to a large, you know, if we did a large customer or a large account, we would send
mm-hmm.
them a small box of See's candy,
mm.
which was $3. I mean,
okay.
we're not talking about anything expensive. That $3 box of See's candy was that we sent out to, you know, we probably sent like a couple dozen of them out every month. That was like the best marketing investment I ever made because
wow.
because people like to be appreciated.
Of
and
course.
For someone to send a thank you note and a small box of chocolate shows that you appreciate the fact that they signed on with you and that they entrusted their problem in your hands to solve. So
mm-hmm.
consequently, by showing them that appreciation, you're validating to them that they were an important client for you. And so I would say asking for testimonials is definitely one thing. I would say showing your appreciation. If you're not writing thank you notes, and I'm not saying a thank you over email. I mean, if you write a handwritten thank you note or send someone a small box of chocolate or a little, it doesn't have to be expensive, but a $5 Starbucks card, something like that.
Okay.
If you give people that level of appreciation, you'll get back a lot more in return in terms of goodwill. And then number three, don't be shy about specifically going to clients and asking for potential leads. I remember I was running a telecom business in California, and I had a partner of mine who called me up. It was December. I wasn't really working very much. I had like a client coming in or a potential client coming in that afternoon, and besides that, I was drinking some eggnog and in the office. And she called me up and she said, and this is a woman that I had worked with for years. She called me up and she said, hey, I'm scraping around looking for business to sell. She sold a product that was adjacent to mine.
Okay.
And she said, you know, by the way, do you know of any leads that she literally called me up and said, hey, by the way, do you know of any leads that I could be working on right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I took a sip of my eggnog and I said, as a matter of fact, I have a client coming in at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And she said, I'll be there at 3 o'clock. So if
right.
you don't ask, because I'll be honest with you, I mean, this is someone who I talked to several times a week. I had, you know, I worked with her on hundreds of projects, and
okay.
I didn't think of her in this particular for this particular client. I don't know why. But because she called me up and said, oh, I'm looking for something, I said, oh, well, actually, there is someone that I could refer to you, and why don't you come over? And it was a client that she ended up closing. So
mm-hmm.
if you don't ask for something,
wow.
you're not going to get it.
Right, right. And where we are, it's
so
back to the relationship.
Literally asking is something that, and the thing is, you have to be sure that you're, when you do ask, you have to be sure that you're asking a person who is going to be comfortable with, right? She didn't ask a total stranger. She called someone who she's worked with on an ongoing basis
exactly,
for a year.
Exactly, exactly. And as I was saying, now we're back to the relationship. We talked about relationships. We talked about networking, and now we're talking about the relationship. I mean, talk to me a bit about the notion that people buy from people they know.
Well, they do. People buy from people that they know and the people that they like,
mm-hmm.
more importantly, and people that they feel are... You have to do some upfront work. If you sell a certain product, you have to do some upfront work to establish yourself as credible and knowledgeable in the product and the service that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, moreover, have relationships. And those relationships take time to cultivate, but you have to have relationships in that area that you can draw upon when you're looking for business. And the best way to cultivate those relationships is to offer them value in the relationship first.
Okay.
I mean, you know, every relationship has to be a two-way street. And then finally, when you are in front of a client, you have to make sure that you deliver on the product or the service that you sell. If you say you're going to deliver 1,000 of these units by January 1st, then it can't be January 5th. It has to be January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That will be what gets you a happy client that you can go to and say, hey, by the way, is
uh-huh.
there anyone else who could value what I offer? Because...
Right.
That client will have their own network. If they're a business, then they'll have their own network. If they're a consumer, they'll have their own personal social network. So that will be what gets you, you know, expanding your net.
Okay. So it does sound as though we're talking.
Hello?
Frank, are you still there? Hello? All right. I'm not sure why I can't hear Punkage, although I see you back here on my screen. I'm hoping that you can hear me. Actually, if you could send me a text message, if you can hear me, let me know. The show is still recording, apparently, but for some reason, I can't hear you. So we're going to see what we can do. I'm going to play a piece of music, actually, and we'll see what we can do in the meanwhile. Let me see what I'm going to play for you folks while we do this. How about this? This is a piece by Somi, and it is called A Prayer to the Saint of the Brokenhearted. I'm not trying to feel brokenhearted at this moment, but let me see here. Actually, I just got a text message from Punkage saying that he can hear me, and I have now figured out why I can't hear him. Okay, Punkage, you're back on the air.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, well, you know, technology is a good thing.
Yes, it is, usually. But I now have 5 more gray hairs, but Blog Talk Radio owes me.
Well, you know, it's funny, and this is something that I do want to bring up since we are talking about sales and marketing,
mm-hmm.
is that I found that a lot of times in sales and marketing, as in obviously now we know with broadcasting, that you have to roll with the punches.
Of course.
I can tell you all kinds of stories about sales presentations that I've made to, and I remember one that I made to ExxonMobil, to like the, you know, people at the highest levels of ExxonMobil, where we showed up 45 minutes late, the PowerPoint didn't work, projector didn't work, nothing worked, and there were 12 people who were like, you know, high-level people who were waiting around for an hour for our presentation. And at the end of the day, you really do have to, you know, things happen in life. So what you do is you kind of, you accept it, and then you move on to providing what you need to provide. And ultimately, that's what, in a sales capacity, you roll with the punches. Because when you're out there in the field, you don't have the headquarters infrastructure backing you up. You're literally out there in the field floating around. So
exactly.
I think we got a real-time taste of that today.
A little bit. A little bit of a taste
anyway,
of that, but you know what? We're fine. We're doing okay. And it's one of the joys of live radio. It actually is the reason why I love it, because you really never know what's going to happen. You know, it's instantaneous. Like you said, you know, fly by the seat of your pants. And so there's a bit of adrenaline that's involved in that. And so, you know, I can't say that I don't appreciate a little bit of that. It would have been nice to finish this particular show, since it is the last show of the season, without that happening. But I think it also just demonstrates the fact that you can keep on rolling, and it gave us an opportunity to point that out. So that's really great. We actually are down to the last few minutes of the show, Punkage, and I want to give you an opportunity to give us any last thoughts on the topic for today.
Yeah, you know, in terms of sales and marketing, number one, when you're thinking strategically about your marketing, it's really important to understand what your value is to your customer and how you can effectively go about communicating that and demonstrating that out to your customer segment. And don't think of the world as your customer base. You would be prudent to really narrow it down to the specific segment that is really going to want your product or service, whether you segment that regionally, by age, by ethnicity, by gender, whatever. I mean, if you can be as specific as possible about who your customer is, it really will allow you to focus your marketing efforts. And then from a sales perspective, as an entrepreneur, you're always a salesperson. Just remember that you have to go through a lot of leads. Customer, think of your pipeline as a funnel. And if you're managing your funnel correctly, every single week or every single day, you're looking at your funnel and making sure that your funnel is full at every single stage. If
mm-hmm.
you find that one level is not full, then you need to focus in on that area and make sure that you're getting leads in there, making sure that you're qualifying them, you're negotiating them, you're closing them. And so managing that funnel is going to be is critical for you. And just mentally and emotionally, don't let getting the door slammed in your face get you down. It should actually empower you instead of discourage you.
You know, Punkage, my favorite sales book is, because, you know, it's written at a level that I can actually understand, my favorite sales book is Green Eggs and Ham.
There you go.
So whenever anyone of you are feeling discouraged about your sales process, go back and read Green Eggs and Ham. There is a lesson in persistence. A lesson in understanding that people will not necessarily buy from you the first time they hear about your product from you. It might not be the fourth time or the fifth time. It might be the tenth time. I mean, Punkage, is there a number actually, an average about that says how many times a person needs to hear something before they actually take an action?
If there is, I'm not aware of it myself, but I will say it's probably way more than you would imagine.
Right. So don't give up. That's the message of the show today, and it's the message of the show in general. This is why I've been doing the show over the season. I want to give information to folks that they will find useful, that will help them in challenging times to keep moving forward. There's always hope, and you have resources out there. Sometimes you might not know what they are, and one of my goals was to bring them to you so that every week when you tuned in, you could hear a little bit about something else that might be helpful to you in your life. So I thank Punkage for having been on the show. It's an honor to have had him as my final guest for the season, and it's an honor for me to share this time with you. I hope that you choose to join Untangled Resolutions presentation of The Problem is the Answer when we return in January. Again, we're going to be back at a new time and with a little bit of a different focus. So look out for messages about that. Meanwhile, there are a ton of broadcasts that you can listen to. You just log in to the show here on Blog Talk Radio, log into the website, and you've got lots of different topics and different shows to choose from. So please have a wonderful new year. I know it's a little early to be saying that, but I won't be hearing talking to you until after that. A wonderful holiday season, and I look forward to being back in January. I leave you now again with Brandon Ross, and I played Brandon today because he was the first musician that I played when the show started, and the song that I leave you with is a hope that I have for you, and it is called Peace Flows. It's from his album Costume, which is also available on iTunes. So go out and buy the music, listen, and I will see you back in January.
cut through.